Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to a reading, Ephesians chapter 2. Reading verses 8, 9 and 10. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, reading verses 8, 9 and 10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. We may be very familiar with the language of verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's a different thing, dear friends, in walking it out. But if we are his workmanship, as we have in verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. There is indeed a working out. Now, naturally speaking, and of course, I suppose there are many, the Lord only knows, who think their works will be the means of giving them grace. And I do not know much about the Roman Catholic Church, but we know that it is their thoughts, their understanding that they are saved by works. Now, I must be careful what I say, because there are many good works that they do. But you see, dear friends, we are not saved by works. That is the natural way in which a person may look at, that we must be saved by our works. But Paul knew so clearly that he was saved through grace, by grace, and that it was through faith. But I say, dear friends, what do we know of grace? I remember when we were in Wales many years ago, Mr. Phillips, a very good preacher down there, he commenced his sermon like this. He said there was this thought that was, they heard about this, that the most gentle, kind words in the dictionary, what were they to be? The gentle words. And he said, some said velvet, some said peace, some said this and some said that. He said, but nobody said grace. Nobody said grace. But it is by grace that we're saved, through faith. And I am sure that there are those here walking through that now, where they have to learn what grace is. You remember that in that very well-known word again in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, I think it is, where the apostle said, where Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what did he have? God had ordained him for the greatest works, perhaps, in the church of God, but what did he have? He'd had a vision, a revelation that he could not speak of. It was too great that he had seen, and yet there was given to him that thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. Well, it was this, that he should not be lift up himself and not be proud of himself, not should be exalted above measure. Because a man that does works, I'm talking now of a natural thing, he makes a good job of something, and rightly so, that in the natural he would be proud of that. But you see, pride soon comes in. And so it was with the Apostle Paul, so it was with all the Lord's people, all the Lord's servants. Oh, how pride would come in. Now the Lord would not have any glory. He must have all the glory. He would have no flesh to glory in his presence. Paul learned that very painful, hard lesson. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he says this amazing word, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now that would be the hardest lesson that he could ever learn, and any could ever learn. He gloried in his infirmity, that Christ would dwell with him. I don't know here where you are today, or what you walked in, or what you may have to walk in, the painful path. But a desire of a living soul is to give glory to God. I believe that is the desire of a living soul, and what you want to do is for his glory. Not of works that any man should boast. The essential thing that God will give to his people is this one thing, that God may have all the glory. And yet, dear friends, our sinful hearts would like to take a little bit of this glory. And so Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. But he had that wonderful promise, my grace is sufficient for thee. I don't know what you may be walking in, my friend, what God may have foreordained for you, what work you may have to do, in giving glory to his name, for we read, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And the psalmist says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, lead me in the path of righteousness, or in the way of obedience. Or are there those here today, and yet may be, who are ordained of God for these good works? And your prayer may be this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? That's a good exercise. The Apostle Paul, I think we might have touched in prayer, that he had this earthen vessel. And that little earthen vessel was filled. But it was only an earthen vessel. It needed the supply of grace. It needed the Lord Jesus. It needed from that blessed fullness in heaven, in Jesus Christ, to fill that little earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's that God may have all the glory. And he says then, and I just read here that he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And what has struck me, the two words, love and kindness. And we had that in our text this morning, or we spoke about it, love and kindness. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what a wonderful thing if we are enabled to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this particular chapter, as far as I can see, concerns the Gentiles. As we have in the Old Testament, that the truth should be concerning the Gentiles. And we read that they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And it seems, I believe it is true, that to Paul, he turned to the Gentiles at one stage. The Jews, many of the Jews did not receive his truth, what he was saying or preaching. He turned to the Gentiles. That was all according to the divine will of God. But no doubt, you see, they were strangers from the covenant, the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But God had this purpose of grace to the Gentiles. And he says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I take that to be both Jew and Gentile, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now in some ways we may say that the Gentiles felt to be afar off, but they were to be made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then we have this very beautiful word. And you know, dear friends, it affects God's people sometimes. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you know, some of the Lord's people can feel that. They feel strangers and foreigners. They want to be fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, but it was by grace. And so we have this very beautiful word here that Paul is writing here to the Ephesians. Now, you're no more strangers and foreigners. You're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, fitly framed together. All God's purposes, that the church, the Jews, the Gentiles, those whom he called, were to be fitly framed together, all together in one. It all sets before us the one thing, the one thing only that will bring not just Jews and Gentiles, but the whole election of grace to be one, and it is by grace, and it is by faith. Now, we read, I think, in James, that God, he said, will give grace unto the humble, but the pride he knoweth far off. And to be given grace, or to understand grace, dear friends, is to be humble. You remember that Paul writing in his epistle, in the 5th chapter of the 1st epistle, he writes to the elders, "Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, dear friends, if we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, then we must be humble. As Paul, as I said, Peter wrote to the elders. He said, "I write to the elders, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Ah, dear Peter had to be humble. I suppose he was a very powerful character, was Peter, often a leader. Indeed, he was to be the first apostle to preach the gospel after the ascension of Jesus Christ at Pentecost. Oh, he had to be humble. And how did God humble him? Or how was he permitted to humble? It was this. And Jesus knew this. And if you're in this, Jesus knows this. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when thou art changed, strengthen thy brethren. Dear Peter had to learn so much. And God permitted him to be in Satan's sieve. I don't know whether you know what it is to be in Satan's sieve. I expect you do in some way. But it's a very painful path to be in Satan's sieve. I think sometimes of what we read in Zechariah, of Joshua the high priest, standing before the Lord and Satan at his right hand to resist him. Joshua couldn't do anything about that. But Joshua was ordained of God unto good works. He was ordained of God to good works. But Satan stood at the right hand to resist him. The Lord gave that command. The Lord was in charge. The Lord was over Satan. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. The Lord rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? And then we read the angel standing by, and the covering that was given him, and so on. The robes that were giving him, the blessing that he received. I notice that it comes to my mind as just an example, dear friends, of these things that God will humble his dear people. You know, we cannot humble ourselves. How much we ever try, we cannot humble ourselves. Only God can humble a poor sinner. But it's a mercy, dear friends, when it is for the glory of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth grace unto the humble, but the proud he knoweth afar off. You know, it's very easy to read of grace, to sing of grace, but do we really know what grace is? the benediction at the end of a service, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He giveth more grace. He giveth grace to the humble, but the proud he knoweth the power of. Now, my friend, if some of you are walking through this, and some of you have, and no doubt some will, he giveth more grace. And he gives it to the humble. And that grace is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. Oh, how lovely it is to see poor sinners walking in the way, in that grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. Saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace. I may just say this, dear friends, when my father died, I don't think we knew what to put on his stone, but it was this, I think it was this, by grace are ye saved. Maybe the smallest one in the kingdom, feelingly, or the greatest one, as God gives it, but by grace are ye saved. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Dear friends, you know, we shall need grace when we die. We need grace to live. I think it was Mr. Durbridge, in his prayer sometimes, he used to ask for grace to live and grace to die. And he said something like this, God will never give dying grace, so in a dying hour. Oh, what grace we should need in a dying hour. Because, you see, the apostle says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. All this, I feel, beloved friends, is a preparation for death. If you've known the grace of God in your path, then he giveth more grace, dying grace. We need grace to live, we should need grace to die. But, dear friends, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think some of the older ones here this afternoon, I can speak freely because I was brought up here. Some of you older ones here this afternoon, you may remember some of those who walked in the way. They didn't say much. There was nothing flowery about their religion, but it was their walk. It was by grace. It was grace that made them humble. It was grace that made them loving. It was grace that made them cheerful. We cannot give ourselves grace. Oh, he gives grace. Oh, what grace is needed, dear friends, isn't it? To take the lowest room. And I go again, let us look at this word, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. And takes from the very highest to the lowest, if I could use that. Certainly, ministers need grace, pastors need grace, deacons need grace, all the dear people of God, they need grace. We need grace to submit ourselves to God. We need grace to submit ourselves to what God has decreed that we should have, our home, our family, or whatever it is. What grace is needed? But are we his workmanship? Have we been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them? Remember this, that this same apostle, when he was on that Damascus road and he saw that glorious light shining from heaven, you know, it cut him right down. And I think we have these words, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I don't know whether some here today, and we may be often in it, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? A poor vessel of mercy. I do not feel to have the ability or strength or wisdom. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, whatever it is, it will need grace. You know, some have had a very path to walk in, and some have had that little workmanship to do, that little work to do. I've known what it is, and you go back to some, and you know, you go into the pulpit, and perhaps there's only a lady there, there's no men. She has to put the water in the pulpit, maybe have to open the door, and so on. These are just examples. What grace is needed? And why? It's all for the love of Christ, isn't it? It's for the glory of God. It's not unto us, not unto us, but for thy name give glory, for thy truth's sake. It's whatever the Lord has called you to do. Even a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple would never lose its reward. Some have had the grace. I'm just speaking openly, dear friends, I hope, as it comes to me, some have had the grace to write letters. A letter of appreciation, a letter of thanks, a letter of encouragement. Not to puff up the preacher or to puff up anybody else, but it was that God laid it upon them to do it. And what is the motive? The Lord only sees, as we have the hymn. It should be these. To worship the Lord in praise and in prayer. To practice his word as well as to hear. I understand that the old Puritans used to speak about the practical part. It's the workmanship. It's whatever God has decreed that we should do. Whatever it is, might be in the home, it might be a wife, a mother, or whatever. But you see, dear friends, it is to take the lowest seed, isn't it? That God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. But I say, grace. It's a very small word, but he giveth more grace. Now, dear friends, have there not been times when the Lord has given you grace? And that grace has supported you. And may I venture to say that grace is supporting you. And that grace will support you. Because it is the grace of Jesus Christ. And you know, there are, again, the thought, you see, these thoughts come to the mind. You know, we read of the Father being the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And to put it in that way, thinking of Mary Magdalene at the tomb, after the disciples have gone home, she tarries at the tomb because She loved the Saviour so much. He'd done so much for her, and she waited. But you know, she had the blessing. And, you know, as he revealed himself to her, he said, "Mary," and she responded, "Master." He said, "Touch me not, but go to my brethren and tell them, I send unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father." We believe that Jesus Christ, that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. His people are adopted. It seems to me that the Gentile church was to be adopted into the true church of God. I know that Paul writes in the Romans about the grafting in and so on. But you see, God's people, they know and brought to feel the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, "Abba, Father." Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, or the love of the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all, we read at the end of the service, isn't it? The benediction. Oh, but what do we know of grace? Grace will carry you through. We have some lovely hymns, do we not, of grace? We'd have this term, called by grace. If we're called by grace, we should need grace to walk it out, won't we? Because grace has brought us thus far, and grace will bring us home. It's the same grace. So, dear friends, how vitally important it is to experience these things. And I feel perhaps we live in a day, I'm not being critical or thinking of anywhere, but there seems to be in the churches today, and not so much in our churches, but so much of the non-essential, shall I say. Not the grace. So grace is a very difficult word to understand, but child of God, you'll know grace. And if you know grace, you'll know the love of God, and you'll know the peace of God, and you'll know that you're one of His. And although Satan came and would have Peter in his sieve, Christ had prayed for him. And I believe it's the same with all His people. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. That's a wonder of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will carry you through and will uphold you. Whatever His will is. And then we have this word, do we not? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, faith. Oh, my friends, if we have grace, we shall also need faith. Paul writes, does he not, in that 11th chapter to the Hebrews, of those worthies who walk by faith. Noah, Moses, Abraham. It was a test. God tested them. God tests His people. I know it is sometimes termed as the trial of faith. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, shall be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This could be the appearing of Jesus Christ. No faith. He walked by faith and not by sight. Well, then, if God has decreed in his as a workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, there are two things we have here that the child of God will need. They will need grace and they will need faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that his reward of them that diligently seek him. Oh, friends, if you need grace, you'll need diligence to seek him, that he will not fail you, because it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, how Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he speaks of those precious gifts, doesn't he? And there are many gifts. And of course, there are these gifts here in the workmanship, the gifts of God. Whatever gift the Lord has given, oh, to live them, use them to his glory. I know some may say, well, I don't see if they have any particular gift. But you know, everybody has a gift. Maybe a latent gift, but all to have that gift and to use it to the Lord. But the thing is, you see, dear friends, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God is pleased when his people walk by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 'Tis by faith and not by sight that Christians yield obedience. But I'm sure there are those here who know the trial of faith. And faith, though the smallest, must surely be tried. Oh, there will be the trial of faith. God always tries his own work. But if it's true faith, it will overcome. So we have in that 11th chapter to the Hebrews those worthies. Some are not named. God knew them. Some are not named. Many are named because they were notable in that sense. They were great leaders. But they had grace. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. What grace he needed, didn't he? To build the ark. When there was that mocking world all round him. All the time it was being built, all there was those, no doubt, that were mocking him. What grace Noah needed, didn't he? To build the ark, as God had told him. What grace Moses had, didn't he? And I do believe, dear friends, this is something that will influence a child of God in this way. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's not natural, is it? But oh, to have that. Oh, to have that. But you've got that in your soul. You choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, that must be grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. Oh, what faith is needed. I don't know what some of you are walking through today, my friends, but your faith may be sorely tried. But it is the gift of God. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That gift you'll need. keep coming to him, pleading for faith, pleading for grace. And be like Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he blessed him there. Oh, the faith. I said earlier on, didn't I, some of you older ones may remember those who walk. Maybe a father, a mother, or grandparents, or whatever. And you knew a little of their past. I know when I was young, I was the youngest of four, I didn't know what was going on in many things. But you know, my friends, oh, what a path. Some of them had a walk in. But oh, the grace God gave to them. Oh, the humility that God gave to them. Oh, that tender spirit that God gave to them. I think it was one place where Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And we had in our reading, I did not think to read the third chapter, but he says this, doesn't he? Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? It was grace that was given. Beloved friends, you know it needs grace to commence, it needs grace to continue. And grace, of course, will see us to the end. I can't quote the hymns of, I think it was Newton, grace called us first, and grace would bring us to the end. And when we come to the end, dear friends, grace will bring us through. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It isn't something that you have. I know there's a natural faith. There is a natural faith. And some are possessed with a natural faith. We need a natural faith. But this is a gift of God. This is the faith of God's elect. Before I close, just to mention what I started to mention just now, what Paul was writing to the Corinthians when he's speaking of the gifts, and he narrows it down to three gifts. And it was faith, hope, and charity, or faith, hope, and love. And one of those gifts is faith. What a precious gift it is, isn't it? But let us ever think of the giver of that gift. He giveth more grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a precious gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, what need there is of grace, what need there is of faith. But beloved friends, it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Well, may I leave the word, the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.